Thank you, operator. Welcome to Value Partners 2022 final results conference call. I am Patricia Lai from our marketing and communications team. Joining me on the call today are Ms. June Wong, Chief Executive Officer of Value Partners, and Ms. Nikita Ng, our Chief Financial Officer. Our presentation today is comprised of three sections. I will first provide a brief overview of our 2022 key highlights. After that, Nikita will provide a more detailed financial review of our 2022 performance, and June will conclude with our latest business and strategy updates. We will then open up the floor for questions. It was a challenging year for global financial markets in 2022. Various uncertainties, including interest rate hikes, recession risks, and China's long-sustained anti-pandemic measures, have severely impacted all asset classes. Due to unfavorable market conditions, the group recorded a net loss of 544.3 million Hong Kong dollars for 2022, with losses mainly from seed capital investments in our own funds. Meanwhile, total expenses decreased by 8.3% as a result of our continued stringent cost control. Our balance sheet remained strong, with a net cash balance of 1.7 billion Hong Kong dollars. Despite the challenging year, we remained positive about the long-term outlook of our business. We carried on with enhancing our business, including the continued strengthening of sales and marketing channels, expansion of asset class and product themes, and capturing opportunities from China's market opening. In addition, investors have become more optimistic about China's market outlook on the back of its opening. We expect 2023 to be a year of recovery for China, and given our ongoing efforts to be a leader in China investing, we are well-positioned to capture the opportunities brought about by this recovery. With that, I would now like to hand it over to Nikita to go over our financial review in more details.
Thank you, Patricia. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. The year 2022 was an extremely challenging year for global asset managers and by far the most difficult year for Value Partners in 29 years. It was the first time the group recorded a significant net loss since our founding in 1993, and also the first year of loss since our listing 15 years ago. Our loss mainly resulted from the significant unrealized proprietary investment fair value loss caused by a plunge in the market value of our seed capital investments in our own funds during the year, given the market volatility. Various uncertainties arising from interest rate hikes, inflationary pressures, recession risk in the West, and ongoing geopolitical tensions have severely impacted all asset classes, including equity, bonds, and alternatives. The growth in China markets also slowed down due to its long-sustained anti-pandemic measures. All these pose economic challenges that investors have not seen in decades. As a result, the group's assets under management decreased to $6.1 billion as of the end of December 2022 from $10 billion at the end of 2021. Our gross management fees also decreased correspondingly by 41% to 549 million Hong Kong dollars. With minimal performance fees, our total revenue amounted to 585 million Hong Kong dollars, a decrease of 54% compared to the prior year. Total expenses were 477 million Hong Kong dollars, down by 8% compared to last year. On an operating basis, the group's loss was about 69 million Hong Kong dollars. Together with the significant house investment paper loss on our seed capital investments, the group is reporting a net loss of 544 million Hong Kong dollars for 2022. On the next slide, as mentioned earlier, the group's AUM dropped by 39% to $6.1 billion at the end of December. About 60% of the AUM decrease was due to fund performance. That said, despite the weak market sentiment, we were still able to capture gross subscriptions of more than $1 billion during this challenging time. Overall, we recorded net redemptions of $1.3 billion for the year. The earlier set interest rate hikes and market sentiment toward the China market continue to impact the Greater China high yield bond market quite significantly. The AUM outflow during the year was partly from one of our flagship funds, the Greater China High Yield Income Fund, of which we saw a much slower redemption for the second half of 2022 compared to the first half due to the improved market sentiment, and also partly from the one-off termination of some white label mandates. Despite the market volatility, we still note strong demand for our Greater China equity strategies, which have a resilient AUM base. There were also continuous inflows into our flagship fund, the High Dividend Stocks Fund, and a Chinese equities mandate from our European client with a long-term optimistic view about the China and Asian markets. Our annualized net management fee margin remained stable at 58 basis points compared to last year's 59 basis points. Next, let's take a look at the AUM analysis. The charts show the breakdown of the group's AUM by strategy and geographical region. By strategy, absolute return long bias funds continue to represent the largest share of the group's AUM, accounting for 73% of the AUM. This is followed by fixed income funds, which account for 13%, with the Greater China High Yield Income Fund being the largest contributor. Given the increased market demand for mixed asset product strategies with lower volatility, we shall continue to focus on and develop our Asian multi-asset franchise. In terms of geography, clients in Hong Kong continue to represent the largest segment, contributing 65% of the group's AUM. The net inflows into our Chinese equities mandate from an European institutional client were offset by the fund performance, and therefore the share of AUM from Europe remained stable at 12% as of December year-end. The share of AUM contributed by clients in mainland China remained stable at 8%. Moving on to the next slide on expense analysis, the group continues to exercise stringent cost discipline. Fixed operating expenses have slightly increased by 3%, mainly on staff costs, as part of our strategic growth plan in strengthening management leadership, client portfolio management capabilities, and also increasing institutional business coverage. Other fixed operating expenses remain stable, with increased IT and market research costs offset rental cost savings. We will continue to take a cautionary stance in cost management in order to manage future business headwinds. At the same time, we will also continue spending on strategic growth areas where we believe it will bolster our competitive advantage in the longer term. Moving on to the next slide, the group continues to run a very strong balance sheet as of the end of December 2022, with net assets standing at 4.5 billion Hong Kong dollars, with net cash of 1.7 billion Hong Kong dollars. We also continue to maintain a position of zero debt. The decrease in investments compared to the prior year was mainly due to one property project exit of our real estate fund in 2022, and also due to the market value drop of our house investments, given the market volatility. Going forward, we shall continue to deploy our house money into our own funds in order to seed and incubate new products, to expand our product suite, to capture new investor demand, and also strengthen the alignment of interest between fund investors and our group. We shall continue to manage our balance sheet with a prudent cash liquidity buffer to meet operational needs and also our longer-term strategic growth plans and initiatives. And this is the end of our financial review section. Next, I would like to hand over to Jun Wong, our Chief Executive Officer, to go over the business and strategy update section.
Thank you, Nikita. Good evening, and thank you for joining us today. I am pleased to speak with you all, investors and analysts, as the Chief Executive Officer of Value Partners. As mentioned by Nikita, 2022 was a challenging year for global markets. However, despite the difficult period, we remain optimistic about the company's mid to long-term prospects, with three key industry trends that remain favorable to our business. First, let us take a look at slide 13 of the presentation. Value Partners focuses on the wealth management client segment, and you can see here that the growth potential of the wealth management market in Asia continues to be huge, driven by the region's affluent segments. Just taking a look at the bottom two highlighted rows representing households with investable assets of $100,000 to $1 million US in Asia, their AUM are expected to increase by nearly 75% to $4.7 trillion US by 2026 from $2.7 trillion in 2021. The following slide shows another growth driver that I would like to highlight. We expect the wealth management industry in China to grow, driven by the rising demand for professionally managed financial products and the increasing wealth in the country. Property investments have dominated Chinese household assets in the past, and citizens have remained to be underinvested in financial instruments. However, this is set to change, driven by the need of investors to diversify away from property investments to financial assets. In the past few years, policy changes in the real estate market, such as measures to curb property prices, have prompted increasing diversification towards financial products. As we have invested more in our China business, which I will elaborate on later, we are well positioned to capture this opportunity. The next slide shows the third key industry trend, which is the rising importance of ESG to investors. Integrating ESG factors in the investment process is becoming an essential factor for manager selection by institutional and distribution clients. In the long term, we expect that ESG factors in portfolios may no longer be a differentiator for investors, but rather a standard requirement in their investment process as ESG becomes mainstream. In Asia, while ESG AUM penetration is just around 2.5%, it is fast growing, giving more opportunities for asset managers that have started to embed ESG factors into their strategies. Again, Value Partners is positioned to take advantage of this, given our ESG efforts, which I will explain later. Before I explain how Value Partners is well positioned to ride on the growth potential arising from these powerful drivers, let me first share our vision for the company. On slide 17, you can see our long-term goals. Our vision is to be a world-class organization, a go-to Greater China and Asia specialist, an ESG market leader for the region, and an enduring business, and to ensure we consistently deliver market-leading operational efficiency and excellent client service. The next slide shows you the efforts we made in the past year to achieve our vision. As you can see, we rolled out several enhancements across our business in 2022. We strengthened our management leadership in 2022 with key hires across different functions. This is now broadly complete, with a strong leadership team formed. With the strengthened management, we also completed an enhancement exercise across different teams, including sales, client service, marketing and product development, resulting in a more focused approach to these functions and stronger coverage in our business. On the business front, we are on track to finalize our family office business strategy this year with a two-pronged approach via Hong Kong and Singapore. We have already built solid pipelines with new businesses developed in the family office segment in the region, and one of our plans this year is to commensurately add dedicated local staff in Singapore to service the increasing wealth management demands in Singapore, which should complement our current coverage in Hong Kong. We are also carrying out a focused and comprehensive client campaign for 2023, given the strong momentum in client interest coming from institutions and retail investors for Chinese and Asian investments. Last year, we launched our first mobile app in Hong Kong, Value Partners Invest. as we see this as an opportunity to enrich our engagement with clients and interact with a wider community. With the app, we are able to make our funds more accessible to a broader audience, especially to the younger generation, and also bring our latest investment insights to them. More importantly, as we embark on this digital journey, the app allows us to engage our existing and future customer base via a much more modern and refreshed approach. May I suggest to watch the space as we continuously upgrade the user experience to ensure investments engagement could be effective, convenient, and enjoyable. We also see continued development in our institutional business, with rising inquiries from global institutions, particularly from Asia and the Middle East, regarding our product offerings for Greater China. We have healthy pipelines built and expect more demand as they seek a go-to China expert like us. Next, let's move to slide 20 to give an update on where we are with our franchise development and investment in ESG. For our multi-asset franchise, despite the challenging investing environment in 2022, our Asian multi-asset strategy continued to deliver competitive performance over different periods. We continued our efforts to build out the franchise, with our sales and marketing teams seeing good progress in onboarding our focus product in main distribution channels. We are also seeing good progress with our asset class expansion plans, which include launching more alternative strategies. They include a GBA-focused strategy, which we brought to the market in late 2022. Partnering with a Shenzhen-based strategic partner, the strategy adopts a hybrid public and private equities approach and aims to unlock valuation potential through our research effort as well as through our active engagement with companies. We are excited about this as it also aims to contribute to the development of Hong Kong and the GBA. Separately, we're also launching an Asia-Pacific logistics real estate strategy. We expect to roll out both strategies this year, and they are part of our plans to strengthen our alternatives franchise. In fixed income, the improving market conditions have helped stabilize the AUM of our flagship Greater China High Yield Income Fund, which has also received renewed client interest. We are also planning to enrich our fixed income product suite with new product ideas to capture opportunities in the investment grade market. For our China and Asian equity strategies, we expect inflows across our strategies this year, on the back of a significant recovery in sentiment toward the China market. Besides the rollout of new alternative strategies, we are also launching an ESG-themed fund, the Asia Food and Nutrition Fund, in the first half of this year. This is also our first Article 8 fund, which means it complies with SFDR's ESG disclosure requirements in Europe. This product is also part of our ESG build-out, which I will elaborate more on later in the presentation. For our ETF franchise, we successfully listed the EMQQ Emerging Markets Internet and E-commerce ETF on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange in partnership with US-based EMQQ Global. Meanwhile, our A-shares Sharia ETF listed in Malaysia continued with its success as being among the top actively traded ETF in 2022 by value and volume in the country. The next slide shows our ESG journey. As ESG is increasingly becoming of strategic importance in the world today, developing our ESG capabilities is among our top priorities, and we have reached several milestones since beginning our journey in 2019. The initiation of our proprietary ESG assessment framework in 2020 was a critical and essential milestone, as it set the ESG foundations within our investment process and enabled many of our ESG research developments in the inefficient emerging Asia markets. For instance, the proprietary ESG assessment was a solution to the low coverage ratio in our investment universe by leading third-party rating agencies, which cover less than 40% of our investees. It has also helped to avoid the rating inconsistency by third-party providers and, more importantly, enable us to conduct ESG research early on some uncovered companies in the region. Subsequently, by the end of 2021, we achieved 100% portfolio coverage of listed equities and fixed income issuers with our proprietary assessment. We also ramped up our capabilities and built a dedicated team for ESG investment. The following year, given our strengthened ESG capabilities, our proprietary assessment now enables our analysts to engage with our investees in a more tailor-made manner to communicate our ESG views and expectations. We were also able to apply enhanced climate considerations across portfolios. For this year, we expect that more ESG developments, including the launch of our first ESG Article 8 strategy, which I mentioned earlier, will be another major milestone of our ESG franchise, backed by our strong commitment early on. There will be more active ESG engagements with investees, and we will publish portfolio climate disclosure and sustainability reports for our clients. Our various efforts in developing ESG practices have also been recognized by the industry. Driven by strong market demand, we believe that ESG will continue to be a long-term competitive advantage for us in the coming years. Our ESG initiatives also come with a broader vision to enhance the local asset management industry. On the next slide, you can see the group's initiative in contributing to our society by growing the next gen. Part of this initiative is our strategic partnership with Hang Seng Bank to support the University Elite ESG Challenge 2023 program. The challenge aims for undergraduate university students in Hong Kong to become an ESG elite via the various training offered in the challenge. We were also the project sponsor of the Hong Kong Securities and Investment Institute ESG case competition for two consecutive years, where our head of ESG investments coached students to construct an ESG case study, which won the individual champion and the team award. Through these efforts, we hope to share our vision and arouse interest among the youth on key ESG topics and issues. Next, I will provide an update on our China business, which remains a key strategic market for Value Partners. On slide 24, you can see that Value Partners has a 13-year history in mainland China. Throughout the years, we have obtained various licenses to conduct different types of businesses in China, which I will explain shortly. Since we started operating on the mainland, we have been recognized by the industry for the various efforts and milestones we have accomplished. On the next slide, you can see how we are able to expand our reach in mainland China. Our core business continued to be well supported by four key pillars. First, institutional clients. Second, private fund management, or PFM, and qualified domestic limited partnership, or QDLP, mandates. Third, retail clients via the Mainland Hong Kong Mutual Recognition of Funds Scheme, or MRF. Fourth, the opportunities arising from the GBA Wealth Connect Scheme. Let me highlight some of the developments in our China business. Under the institutional pillar, we set up a new product targeting insurance funds, which should position us to broaden our cooperation and business with insurance companies. On the PFM front, we are now expanding our wealth management channel. A well-performing PFM fund set up last year has paved the way for us to expand the partnership with third-party channels. Currently, we are also one of the largest foreign PFM managers. Under the MRF scheme, we plan to expand the distribution network for the current two MRF funds we have, or add other share classes for existing distributors. We are seeing ample room for growth, as our funds under the scheme can further raise more than $1 billion before reaching its cap. On the GBA Wealth Connect front, we were able to onboard one more fixed income product on the shelves of eligible banks. In total, we now have three funds under the GBA Wealth Connect scheme. We continue working with current and potential distribution partners to add eligible products to our shelves. Following China's reopening, we expect our business to grow further this year. Regarding China's public fund management license, obtaining this license remains to be one of the top priorities of Value Partners. Despite the business headwinds in 2022, amongst other things the COVID-related travel restrictions, our groundwork continued to move ahead with our plans. We expect our plans to accelerate this year as we have already regained a lot of momentum regarding engagement with Chinese regulators and other government authorities since the end of Q4 2022 as things started to open up. In conclusion, I would like to reiterate our strong belief and confidence in the future growth trajectory of Value Partners. Taking this opportunity, I would like to thank all our colleagues, our business partners, and shareholders for their support in 2022. While the year was tough, we made good use of the year to continue to strengthen ourselves in preparation for our next growth phase. I strongly believe that Value Partners is well positioned to capture the massive opportunities lying ahead. We are committed to becoming the premier go-to China and Asia specialist asset manager for our clients and partners, both local and overseas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, June. And that concludes our prepared remarks. We will now open up for questions. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session. Thank you.